This Jussie Smollett story sure has head scratching, doesn't it? We talked about this yesterday. Here's something that I think is interesting. CBS is saying that when the police broke into the room where the two brothers are staying, right?
Did you say broke in?
Yeah, I did.
Well, I'm assuming they went in with a warrant, right?
I guess so. It's funny because, let's put it this way. The cops somehow went in there. And CBS says that when the cops got into the room where the two brothers were staying in Chicago, one of whom we understand is a fellow actor on Empire, which has, by the way, hundreds and hundreds of actors and directors and writers. I looked at their IMDb page today to see if I could see who these people might be, and I have no clue who this actor is or who his brother is. The cops say that they are African-American or black. I'm not sure if they're from Nigeria or what their status is, but a couple of black brothers were staying in a place, and when the cops went in there, they found bleach, and they found a red hat, not a MAGA hat, but a red hat, and they found a black face mask hat, whatever that is, and an Empire script. So it sounds like somehow the cops gained access, presumably with the warrant, to the room. I saw some pictures of it, in fact, on CBS this morning, and it's this disheveled, ransacked room. It looks like the cops were just tearing the place up looking for stuff. But they say they found bleach and a red hat, as well as a face mask and an Empire script of the brothers who are believed to be the brothers in the video.
I hate to be this person right now, but it's too imperfect. Why didn't they hide those things or bury them somewhere instead of them all being in the same house that belonged to those brothers?
The Jussie Smollett story is a terrible, fascinating story, or it's not true. It's a hoax and is therefore a terrible, fascinating story, but for a completely different reason. If true, here's what they want you to believe. Walking down the street at 2 a.m. on January 29th, Smollett was attacked by two men who had been tracking his moves. He had just flown into Chicago. It's 2 in the morning. He gets to his room. He wants to get something to eat. He wants to get some cigarettes. He doesn't have any food. He goes out for smokes. And finally, he finds himself in a Subway store. And these guys had evidently been following him, stalking him. They were behind him or near him, and they came upon him with this hate-filled agenda. It was 9 degrees below zero that night. It was a cold night. So anybody who's out to commit a crime like this with rope and bleach and the scheduling and the cold, I mean, this was a dedicated couple of dudes who were waiting for Jussie Smollett to deliver that message. That's one version of it. Or it was a completely random thing. Imagine that. The black gay activist at 2 in the morning on a night no one wanted to be out happened to run into two racist MAGA homophobes. The craziest coincidence ever. If that's the case, it's a horrible crime and a black eye for our city. Or if it was a committed couple of guys who were stalking him to deliver a hate message, it's a horrible crime and a black eye for our city. Or it was a hoax, in which case it was a horrible crime of a different nature, and it's a black eye for our city because we've been living with this image of downtown Chicago since January 29th. I don't know which it is. You sure do have some opinions. Ryan Burrow is online. Is he on this remote switch here? Ryan Burrow, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello, John.
Ryan Burrow's been following this for WGN Radio. Yeah, I hear you now, Ryan.
Okay, great.
He's been following this for WGN Radio and for ABC. Those are the three possible scenarios the way I see it, Ryan. What would you add to all of this?
Yeah, and we all want this to be wrapped up just like a TV show, don't we? But it's taken a lot longer than that. And, you know, it's interesting, John, you were going through some of those things that CBS has pointed out. I was going through that, and really, besides the Empire script, I have a red hat. I have bleach. I think most of us probably do. So the one thing that police have said is really don't focus so much on the bleach and the rope situation as much as some of this other evidence that we've been able to get, which they, of course, are not telling us what that is. But they believe they've got enough evidence to show that these two were involved in some way. They are now under arrest, we are told, and what that does is that gives them a little bit of breathing room when it comes to being able to detain them for about another day. So, because they've been questioning them at least, it seems like, since Wednesday when they initially arrived at O'Hare Airport, and putting them under arrest now gives them the opportunity to continue this these questions. We do know that the two people who are reported to be brothers, in fact, the attorney for them has indicated as such. Police have not yet confirmed that to us, but probably wouldn't be going out on a limb if some people were to say that, do have some kind of relationship in one form or another with Smollett. So what does that mean? Were they close? Did they just encounter each other? Were they just co-workers? We're not exactly sure at this point,
yeah,
but
I'm
it
assuming
seems as though
that
their orbits did collide or have collided at some point.
Yeah, but as I was saying a moment ago, Ryan, that cast is big enough, and it sounds like whoever the other actor is not a star. So is it possible that these two guys stalked and attacked him? One of them's on the show, and Smollett did not know or notice that when they were attacking him. And it sounds like they're trying to at least misrepresent their motives if they are wearing a red hat and if they're saying this is MAGA country. I mean, that's not their battle cry. So they're trying to come off as maybe Trump supporters or some sort of racist. I mean, but they're not. They're African American. So if I'm to believe this version of events, these two guys who Smollett did not recognize, even as they were beating him up, are actors on
one with a mask on.
One of them's an actor in the show, and they are at least misrepresenting their motives. For some reason, they're beating him up, but not because they're some white MAGA guys.
I know. And look, we've been thinking out loud for the last 2.5 weeks, right? And you know, we've been criticized, and I don't know if you've been getting it. I've been getting it on Twitter. You know, whatever's going to happen is not going to make someone happy. There are a lot of people out there that think that we're giving this maybe too much attention. There are a lot of people that think that, you know, because so much of attention has been brought to this, it's because, you know, there is that the Trump factor, the MAGA information, you know, all of this homophobic and racist slurs that are being tied in with the Trump administration. There are people who think that you know, he's being treated a certain way because he's gay, because he's African American, and it seems like however this is going to end, someone is not going to be happy with how it all plays out, and we understand that. But it's been fascinating because I think everyone thinks there's just something that's not adding up to this in the story that we've been hearing.
And I think it's a legitimate
until that gets solved. Yeah, until that gets solved, I don't think we can put that in a box and say, oh, this happened because of X or Y.
It's a legitimate story this way. If it happened, it's terrible. And we need to know about that. And this young man deserves justice. And we need to
the city
stamp
of Chicago's
that
reputation is on the line.
We
right?
need to condemn that. And that's a big story. I'm very interested in that story if it's real. If it's a hoax, some sort of national hoax that he's perpetrating on everybody, including Chicago, then I think that's another big story that at least needs to be righted. We need to figure that out because Chicago doesn't need this crap. And I think we shouldn't let people get away with that sort of thing. So I get what you're saying, and I was slow to this news story or conversation out of the gate, but I'm in now. Let's figure this out. Let's find those people and prosecute them if Jussie Smollett is a real victim, and if Jussie Smollett is in on the hoax or has been leading us astray, then let's out that too, man. I want to know what happened here.
At this point, right now, what time is it? It's 1:18 p.m. As the last we've heard from Chicago police is they are still considering Jussie Smollett to be the victim in this case. So that's what we're going with. Everyone can run with that however they want. It could change in a moment's notice. But as of right now, understand that that's where this investigation is. They have two suspects who are arrested, or potential suspects, I guess, in air quotes is what they're calling it, who are arrested. The questioning continues, and Jussie Smollett is considered the victim in this case.
And that's as it should be with the police. And then if they find out it is a hoax, then somebody needs to determine if there's some other crime besides wasting people's time at the police department and money. I mean, there's man hours, a lot of them, that are being dedicated to this. But I suppose if this is a hoax, I would just wish him a good psychiatrist, and let's just all move on. And I don't need to throw this guy in jail over this, or fine him, or prosecute him for whatever the heck his motive is here. Let's just move on if this is a hoax. But that's just me.
So wait, so if he was beaten, you want the aggressors to go to be punished?
Sure.
But if he made it up and resulted in all of this investigation and all this fault,
I didn't say I'm consistent with my thinking all the time, Steve.
I just want to make sure I was clear in your view.
Well, I mean, so all right. So suppose he made this up. I'm sure filing a false thing is a crime and blah, blah, blah. Okay. But I mean, you know, I'm outraged and I want to repair our city's reputation. We'll recover.
Well,
but I mean,
I think we should.
I don't know what good throwing him in jail is going to do or whatever.
No. And I mean, I don't know what happened. And there's so many different versions of what happened. I'm tired of trying to figure out what happened. But I will say this. The city's bigger than this. And, you know, our hand-wringing over our city's reputation over this, you know, I don't think people, I don't know. I think we might be a little more sensitive to that than in reality would reflect.
I don't know. Do you talk to people from Kankakee or St. Paul, and do they say, oh, boy, downtown Chicago, ooh?
No.
They don't?
I don't think so. That it's
Call
not
if you're from Kankakee or St. Paul. What's your reputation of coming and spending time downtown?
In downtown Chicago?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You're right.
I think it's safer than El Paso.
Different conversation. I will entertain your notion that, yeah, my angst is maybe a little inflated here, but I think there's something very real about a city's reputation and stories like this cementing it or furthering it. I think it's damaging to us. If I was the mayor, right, or somebody who's trying to get business and tourists into Chicago, this doesn't help. Okay, we'll pause here. It's 121. This is WGN. To call or text, 312. Oh, we do have calls. Oh, we do have texts.